This Sunday, we have the longest gospel reading of the Christian year. I'll read only a portion of it for now from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. Jesus said to them, "When I sent you out, did you lack anything? Without purse, bag, or sandals?" They said, "No, not a thing." He said to them, "But now he who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag, and the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, the scripture must be fulfilled. He was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled." Then they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." Jesus replied, "It is enough." While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we now strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." He touched his ear and he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The drama of Jesus ends in his last week. One dark night, as the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, it is cops, first century style. What are you going to do when they come for you? And at that moment, in this moment of high drama, the disciples ask Jesus a curious question. "Lord, now shall we strike with the sword?" It's curious because, remember, these are the disciples. These are the people, Jesus' inner circle, the ones closest to Jesus. Now, what of what Jesus has said and done throughout his ministry would lead them to believe that now they strike with the sword? There's somber irony here. There's no irony that the soldiers have swords. That's what soldiers do. That's what governments do. You name me one government that's not propped up through violence. This is the way of governments. We call it national security. But we don't expect national security through better education or a better health care program. We get national security through military hardware. As you pay your taxes next week for the largest military budget in the world, you know that all that talk about "in God we trust" is a lie. When the chips are down, give us a sword. No irony in that. The irony is that it's not only the soldiers of Caesar who have swords, but Jesus' own disciples have swords. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't say who this sword-swinging disciple was. John says it was none other than Peter, the rock, the church, us. All that Jesus talk about turning the other cheek, not resisting evil, oh, that was fine for sunnier days back on the road when Jesus was popular and when he was spiritual. But now that things have gotten political and it's dark and the soldiers with their swords, Well, it's time to be Niebuhrian and realistic. Church, let's roll. Here are the people who've heard every word Jesus spoke. And they ask, Lord, now is the time we take up the sword. Of course, we all know violence is not the way of Jesus. Jesus had spiritual goals like love and righteousness and other sweet spiritualities. But there are times when you've just got to forget all that and take matters in hand. I'm remembering those armchair liberation theologians on the faculty who all said, well, violence is a bad idea, but when violence is used by the Sandinistas against an oppressive government in the names of Marxist goals for the poor, well, it's okay. Michael Moore told me that on the day that two spoiled men opened up fire on their fellow students at Columbine High, that very day the Clinton administration and NATO dropped more bombs in Bosnia than any day during the entire war, destroying a hospital and a school in the process. Violence is unfortunate, but violence by terrorists is bad, but violence worked against terrorists is okay. Killing is wrong when done by a spoiled wife abuser named Peterson in Durham, but when it's done by a jury who is punishing Peterson, that's okay. And all of this makes all the more amazing that Jesus, at the very point when his entire movement is threatened, his life is unjustly threatened, even when faced with all of our perfectly good reasonings about violence, self-justified defense, it's then that Jesus says to us, put away the swords. Those who take up the sword die by the sword. Those are the last words, the very last words the disciples hear from Jesus as he's led away to die. Put away the swords. Surely, if there were ever a moment in human history when violence would be justified, it's here, when the Son of God is being attacked. But the words of Jesus, no more of this. Now, elsewhere, you know, Jesus made suggestions to us, like, consider the lilies, or blessed are the peacemakers. Here, he commands, put away the sword. No more of this. How do we make sense of this? Maybe Jesus is using a savvy political strategy. He's being pragmatic. After now, we know that violence begets violence. Violence worked against the Palestinian terrorists appears to produce more Palestinian terrorists. Bush Sr.'s war in Iraq to end all wars in Iraq produced another Bush war in Iraq, even more costly. The soldier who is trained to right the wrongs in Iraq through violence comes home to Fayetteville and works violence in his own family. Jesus never spoke more truer words. Those who take up the sword die by the sword. 11,000 Americans died last year with guns. Many more than Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, those countries combined, where almost nobody is following Jesus. But I'm afraid what we got here is something beyond astute pragmatism, a strategy. I think that Jesus says what he says to us that night because of something Jesus knows about God. The authorities are propped up by swords. Jesus has got nothing to prop up his kingdom but God. No more of this. When we draw the sword as Jesus' followers, there is no difference between the empire and us. The state is careful to, at its best, to identify its enemies, to carefully get evidence against them as justification. Jesus commands us to love our enemies. And at this, Jesus' final word to his disciples, we all slither into the darkness. And Jesus is left to go head to head with the powers, with no power except God. And this is the way the Christian faith believes that God gets what God wants. It's a very strange way. Last year, during Islamic Awareness Week, we had a panel, and we had a rabbi, and we had an imam from Chicago, and we had me representing all Christians everywhere, even though you didn't vote for me. And during the discussion, the imam said, Islam is a very peaceful religion. Islam is very tolerant. And he informed us. He said, if my brother here, the Jew, were attacked by an unbeliever, in the Holy Quran, I have a sacred obligation to punish the unbeliever. And the rabbi seemed pleased to hear that. And I said, gee, I wish Jesus had said something like that. I got people that need killing. And I would love to punish people. But unfortunately, at a perfectly good moment, when we tried to do justice, and he cursed us. No more of this. You know, we could have a really good debate this morning, like over the virgin birth of Jesus. Mark, Paul, never mention it, don't seem to know about it. We could have quite a fight over homosexuality. Yeah, there are not that many texts in the Bible about it, and the ones we got are kind of conflicted. Alas, there is no possibility of debate over whether or not Jesus condemned violence for any purpose, in any cause, noble or not. During the last presidential election, there was a debate about Senator Lieberman. He's a devout Jew. They said he keeps kosher. What if we have a national crisis and we need to go to war on a Saturday? Can we count on Lieberman? Nobody said George Bush is a Methodist. Al Gore's a Baptist. Don't these Christians have some weird ideas about violence? Can we count on them when we need to kick butt as a nation? Nobody asked it because, well, when it gets dark, you can't tell the difference between the followers of Caesar and the devotees of Jesus. In the dark, we've all got swords. Look, I don't know what to do about this. I live in a country that is built on, bathed in blood. I and my family are the beneficiaries of violence, as are you. When it comes to taking matters in hand and being realistic, Michael Peterson is me all over. I took a palm branch. I joined the happy troop parading in behind Jesus, singing Hosanna. But right now, at this point, as we move toward a horribly unjust suffering, death and defeat on a cross, I began to lag behind in the Jesus parade. Do you? Now, on Thursday, when the disciples gathered with Jesus in the upper room at the table, Jesus made a curious remark. Jesus says, now is the hour of darkness. Now Satan takes over the story. Now let him who doesn't have a sword go and buy a sword. Sell your coat if you have to. And the disciples reply, no problem, we got two swords right here. Now, why would Jesus urge his disciples to go out and buy a sword When, in just a few moments later, when we try to use the sword, but not very effectively, Jesus curses us and tells us to put away the sword. I don't know. But one of my teachers, Paul Meinier, said he thinks those two swords in the upper room relate to the Deuteronomic law in which Deuteronomy said you cannot convict somebody of a capital crime without two witnesses. Jesus says, in effect, to his disciples, when I sent you out, remember I told you, don't take a bag, don't take a purse, extra pair of sandals, don't take a sword. Just rely on God's power to preserve you. Did any of you disobey me? And the disciples said, yeah, we thought, you know, religion was a good idea, but just in case this Messiah thing didn't work out, we kept a couple of Smith and Wessons in the glove compartment. When I sent you out to be my disciples, did any of you disobey me? And the disciples said, yeah, and we got two witnesses right here to prove it. And Jesus says, I am reckoned with the lawless. And we thought he was talking about the soldiers. The betrayer at the table, the betrayer at hand is us. With our swords and our defense and our guns and our vengeance, you don't have to look that far to find a betrayer of Jesus. We may say on our money, in God we trust, but when push comes to shove, we ask, Lord, is now the time to strike with the sword? Well, in just a short time, just a few days, just a moment, we're going to find out that when Jesus says, in God I trust, he means it. I don't know what to do with us. God only knows what God is now going to do with us and our disobedient, bloody, bloody mess. Only God knows. Amen.